This is the Careering into Motherhood podcast with me, Jane Johnson. It's a series of podcast episodes where each week I interview a different woman about her take on women in the workplace and particularly for parents or working mothers. Right now, the juggle is real. We've got kids at home, we're dealing with huge levels of anxiety, just the entire world has been turned upside down. And what we're experiencing is definitely not the kind of flexible working that I and a lot of others have been campaigning for over the last few years. But what this is showing is that we can remain productive even under these crazy circumstances in some way, shape or form. And I really hope that when things do start to get back to whatever new normal looks like, that the doors will be much easier to open when it comes to negotiating some kind of flexible working. Because what we are doing right now is setting a precedent, whereas there was none in previous times gone by. If the situation is causing you to call into question some of your career choices, or maybe you have been furloughed or you're looking at redundancy, you may be interested to know that the Careering into Motherhood platform is running an online coaching program for 12 women in our first cohort starting in the first week of May. It's all run online. You will be in a group of like-minded women who are all grappling with certain career-related questions and issues. It's with Amy Shepherd, who was my guest on the podcast. She is a very qualified career coach and organizational psychologist, and she will be taking the group through some very helpful tools and exercises to help you define what is really important to you and where you might go next. So if you're interested in finding out more about that, join the Careering into Motherhood Facebook group or drop me an email, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com, and you can find out more about our coaching program. Now, without further ado, my guest today is journalist Nikki Kemp. Nicola was a senior editor at the Haymarket Media Group before joining Byte and becoming managing editor of Creative Brief. She is hugely experienced in the creative industries and a very accomplished journalist, but she's also a big advocate for flexible working and has won awards for her work where she really champions diversity and inclusion and flexible working. So I wanted to get her take on what's happening in the world right now, what she's seeing from her clients, what she's seeing companies, how they're adjusting and changing to this new crazy, and what she thinks might stick as we go into the future. So without further ado, let's talk to Nicola. Thank you very much indeed for making the time. As I say, I'm sure at the moment finding time to do these is really hard, especially when you're juggling the childcare and work and everything else. So I'm very grateful. I don't think we've ever actually sat down and had a conversation, but you are always in my feed, my timeline on LinkedIn, and I know you've written prolifically about flexible working. So could you just give for our listeners a little bit of background about your career?
Yeah, firstly, thank you so much for taking the time to have me on this. It's such a great thing to do in this slightly uncertain and weird time. And I think we're both in the women in marketing community. I think that's how we first connected properly. So I think we've got Ade, who runs
that's
that.
That's right. Brilliant, Ade.
So I'm a managing editor of Byte, which is the editorial platform at Creative Brief. We're a marketing platform for brands and agencies. But my background is very much, I spent my entire career being a journalist. And most of that time I've spent focusing on business and primarily the business of advertising. But my career changed quite a lot after I had kids. I know it's the same for a lot of men and women. You kind of have that sort of moment of actually caring about your career a lot more. It's always that sort of myth that women become less ambitious after they've had children. And I think I actually got more ambitious, but I was just ambitious for different things, if that makes sense. Mm,
definitely. Often you sort of take it for granted. I know I did. So go to university and get your job, and it's just going to work is something you do. And then you suddenly have to squeeze in bringing up a small human being
around your career, and you're suddenly so, well, I was suddenly so much more grateful for it.
I completely agree with that. I think it's something that's kind of a piece of you before you had children, but also I feel like the experience of having children, because it's such a leveler, really kind of changed my approach to what it was I was interested in as a journalist as well. So for me, it was kind of a real sort of inflection point. And I think it's so fascinating right now when you've got this situation where you've got, you know, so many people now having to essentially work from where they are, sort of open their lives up. And it sort of made me think that I've actually spent so many years of my career sort of apologizing for the fact I have kids, you know, oh no, I'm really sorry, I don't really want to travel, you know, for that many days, or I can't do that evening thing, or whatever it is. And I feel like if anything comes out of this, I think it's hopefully that we'll all stop apologizing so much for just actually existing as parents in the workplace.
Yeah, what do you mean? Because all of a sudden we're doing calls where you can see directly, I mean, into someone's life and home.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, you could see more than in just into my home a couple of weeks ago. You could see my six-year-old's bum. So, you know, that sort of moment of, we were so British about it as well. Nobody mentioned it. It's just like, oh yeah, it's just a six-year-old in the background just having a dance.
And do you think that that is changing? Or I mean, obviously we can hope, but do you think that is changing what I call pale and male senior managers' perception, that actually, you know, I'm sure we've all had bosses who they don't seem to have any other life, outside work, but all of a sudden we don't seem to have, you know, of course we're doing work, but we're doing work at home. So the home has suddenly come much more into the fore. Do you think that's having an impact?
I think it is. And I think there is, you know, all over different industries. I was talking to a friend of mine who works for quite a big media organization, and they'd always said, you know, you can't have laptops because of kind of hacking fears and this kind of stuff. And necessity is the mother of invention. You know, there's so many examples of companies finding solutions for things that had previously been, you know, seen as barriers that were too difficult to overcome. But I also think it's really important that people recognize this isn't a period where you test if flexible working works, because this isn't flexible working. This is enforced remote working with no childcare, which is a very different situation than just actually, you know, working flexibly. Because I've worked flexibly for the last 6 years, and, you know, I work flexibly quite inflexibly, I've realized, if that makes sense. I don't even, the day I work from home, so I work 4 days a week with 1 day from home. And actually that day from home, I usually work from a gym. So, you know, I have quite enforced sort of boundaries around my work, if that makes sense, sort of dividing it up from my home. And it's actually made me realize that I'm actually not as progressive as I like to think myself to be, if that makes sense.
Why is that? Is it that you think you, you know, if you were working from home previously, you'd have been too tempted by the washing or piles of ironing or whatever it is?
I have the deepest respect for my husband, because he can sit amongst, you know, a million tasks that need to be done and be absolutely focused on what he's doing. And for me, I find that quite challenging. I need to sort of control the space that I'm in, if that makes sense.
That's quite interesting for someone who's worked from, you know, worked flexibly for such a long time. And when I first started, when I set up my business, and frankly, it was born out of necessity again, because I looked at the costs of hiring an office and they were astronomical versus I had one at home. It had been so ingrained in me that, you know, the hours of 9 to 5, 9 to 8 or 6, whatever they may be, those are your working hours. That actually, even though it was my own business and on my own time, if I got up and went out for a coffee or something, I felt so guilty. I was like, oh my God, this is my working day. Or if I did some washing or something, because it is really, really instilled in us to work in that traditional way.
And I think it's so interesting because it's so down to your personality as well, like particularly if you're in a company, like I'm very much like that. I get quite guilty. I get that sort of sense of, you know, I tell myself I'm going to do this work in the evening and then I'm going to take the time back. And I never end up taking that time back and being a bit more flexible. And I just think it's one thing to sort of work on collectively is this notion that, you know, others are going to judge us by the way that we work. I think there's nothing more energy sapping than kind of worrying about what other people think about you. And I think it is just that thing. Now I'm a bit older, I think some of the struggles that I had in the workplace when I was younger, and particularly when I came back from maternity leave, and I think you kind of lose a bit of confidence sometimes on maternity leave. And some of those issues can be in your own head. And I think that's such a challenge that particularly because it has primarily been mothers that have taken that flexibility, have faced in the workplace because they feel like they're a proof point for an entire organization. And I think it's just, if there's anything that we can try and sort of positively take from this situation is actually let's just sort of collectively agree to just not judge each other or not have those arguments almost in our own heads and just kind of accept that we just need to meet each other where we are right now, I think.
Yes. You know, the interesting thing for me will be seeing when it's time to go back, how many people actually start to negotiate some degree of flex, because why would you? I mean, as we've said at the start, you know, this is not flexible working. Let's be very, very clear. This is not what you and I talk about and campaign for at all in any way, shape, or form. This is a crisis. But I've heard that some people, I heard the other day an anecdote about somebody who is a male, senior male in banking, and he had always been really, really anti working from home or working anything other than normal hours. But all of a sudden, he's actually going to go back and he's going to work a day a week from home because he has found he is so much more productive not having that commute and, you know, not stopping for coffees or nipping out to the gym or whatever it may be. And I'll be really interested to see how many people go down that route of some flex.
I hope that does happen. And I think it will. Like, I've had some really interesting conversations along those lines. And I think it's such an interesting process because I think for some people, it's almost like relearning the art of communication. Like, they don't know how to communicate in a non-broadcast way. Like, I remember sort of different points in my career when I was trying to get more flexibility after I had children. It was like, well, I might just need to turn around and talk to you. And it's like, oh, but you can talk to me. Like, I'm not, but it's that sort of kind of thinking is kind of more entrenched than you would think. And I think it's really interesting because some of my friends who have been working flexibly for so long have sort of said, actually, there's almost an education point to be made to colleagues that haven't done it because they're just over communicating to such a degree, you know, on Slack channels, on email. And I think it's this whole journey that we're all going on, whether we're massive advocates for flexible working like we are, or with people who've said it doesn't work, we all have to come together to prove that actually it does. And if it can work in this kind of scenario with this kind of, you know, level of anxiety that everyone's facing, I mean, it's going to be really difficult for companies to turn around and say, I'm so sorry, I'm retracting that job offer because you want to leave the office 3 days a week at 5 o'clock. Yes. So I think that can only be a good thing, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, this is the thing. It will be, you know, it will go one way or the other.
Yeah.
I think we have to be hopeful.
And it's the economics of it as well.
Exactly.
I mean, the cost of office space, the environmental impact of commuting. You know, there's so many things that we can all look at and sort of question. You know, I saw something on Twitter that made me laugh. It was like, oh, I really miss my Pret sandwich. I might just throw £5 out of the window and have a bland sandwich. And I just thought, actually, you know, there's a lot of things that we do, particularly as working parents, that me and my husband call it the tired tax. You know, you're tired, so you've got another parking ticket because you forgot to pay for your parking at the train station, or you've bought 3 pairs of shoes for your daughter to start school, even because you forgot that you'd bought the other two. there's a lot of overconsumption that comes from presenteeism. And it's like, actually, there are things that I know that so many of us are taking out of this as individuals and just going, is that really necessary? Should I really be doing that? It's enforced, but it's nonetheless quite sort of, it's quite an inflection point on the way that we live and the number of things we just take for granted.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think I really hope now that once, you know, I'm saying at the moment now, if you see a job advert, go for it. And because there will not be a single leg to stand on when you turn around and say, but I want to work one day a week from home, or, and as you said, you know, need to leave 3 days a week at five. Surely not a single sane manager in the world can now say, no, that's just not possible, because we are creating precedent right now. You know, under such stressful circumstances, and yet still managing to remain productive in one way, shape or form.
And I feel like we have to be so careful as to how we respond to what's happening now, because I feel like we've come so far, like the kind of work that you do, the work of organizations like Timewise in the advertising sector of Creative Equals, to kind of push for greater diversity, for more flexibility. Yet in all truth, when I speak to colleagues and friends, you know, particularly of those in kind of bigger media organizations, there's a lot of working mothers that are going for voluntary furlough, partly because this is a lot. It's partly a reflection of the gender pay gap. You know, a lot of those examples are people who are married to somebody who earns a lot more than they do. And some of it is just the sort of inflexibility of actually going, I don't think I can carry on doing my job and also homeschool my children and also do all these things that you should be doing on social media. I think it's competitive parenting, but actually, you know, some of those things are enjoyable. And I think the one thing that we should all take from this is kind of let everyone go their own way, you know, whatever gets you through. But I do, whilst I think that those decisions should be made without guilt, you know, there is no guilty feminist about deciding that that is not a situation that you can maintain. I do think that when we look at the impact of this whole crisis in 6 months' time, we will see a lot of women, primarily women, who have taken a chunk of time out of work. And whilst I think, you know, I would never judge anyone's individual decisions, I think we really need to be mindful of that, because we need to be making progress, and that's not going to be progress.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I hadn't sort of thought of it that way. And as you say, you know, absolutely no judgment at all. But it's, you know, if you're stepping off the career ladder for a bit through personal choice, that's one thing. That's quite different from stepping off because you feel you literally can't cope right now and there's a furlough offer on the table. What needs to change?
So in terms of silver linings, so in my household, I have discovered that my husband is really patient and he's a very good teacher. I am not patient and I am not a good teacher. And I realize that I'm very lucky. I work for a company it's small. So they're very open when you say, actually, I'm struggling with X or Y, they're able to flex. So that is really, really good. And the other thing is my husband, he works for himself. So he's not having to sort of get anything signed off by anyone. And, you know, between us, we've got a lot of flexibility. But I'm still finding this quite difficult. Like I think there were a lot of us last week that hit a bit of a wall. Because it sort of felt like, oh gosh, this is just going to carry on like this. And it's challenging. But then, you know, I've got people in my network who are single parents or they're married to key workers. And I think we need to be really, really mindful, particularly for big organizations, to recognize that everyone's experience is going to be very different. Like you might have a child who is not neurotypical. So, you know, I've got a very good friend of mine has just smashed it in a pitch. But also, you know, she's preparing her pitch documents and she's also preparing a visual timetable for her son for the next day. You know, I mean, what very, very impressive multitasking skills. But I just worry that sometimes, you know, there are at the top of those organizations, primarily men, if I'm honest, who are shutting themselves away in a home office for a whole day. Their experience of working from home with kids is going to be very different to hers.
We had Cindy Gallup on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about how this time, this period is really accentuating and showing up all of the things that need completely tearing down. So, you know, I've got friends as well with who have got children who are not, you know, as you say, neurodiverse, and, you know, they're really struggling. And actually, perhaps what this is showing up for them is that now is the time that society needs to step up and offer more support if those parents also want to continue and have fulfilling and meaningful careers, because something's got to give.
I suppose collectively our lens has shifted so much. You know, if you think about it, it wasn't that long ago when we were sort of having national conversations regarding people having the right to live in this country on the basis of how much they get paid, when what this has really shown us is the people who actually are the key workers, who are key to the country running, to supporting vulnerable people. And it's not actually down to how much they get paid. And I think I completely agree with Cindy. I think there's so many things where this situation is just really exacerbated existing issues. You know, I mentioned the gender pay gap. I think that is a huge issue right now, particularly when you've got companies that are asking people to take significant pay cuts. You know, that has an impact on the decisions that a family or a household makes. And those decisions often aren't going in women's favour because of economics.
Bringing it back slightly more to the creative marketing industries, are you, which have typically, especially in agency world, have been very inflexible? There's always, I remember once going to a talk where somebody asked the CEO why there weren't more senior women and more flexible jobs. And his answer was, well, our clients wouldn't accept it. Are you seeing, now that clients and agencies are all having to work remotely, are you seeing any change there?
I have to say, firstly, I think that client excuse is just rinseable, because effectively what that person is saying is that I'm actually not responsible for the culture of the company that I'm running. It is down to the clients. I mean, really, you want to choose a creative agency that's effectively handing its culture over to you, when actually the reason you're hiring that agency is because of their people and their culture. I've always thought that client argument was really, really weak, particularly when you look at just how creative some of the biggest brands in the world are. You know, Procter & Gamble have been talking about core hours for almost a decade. These are massive, massive brands with huge budgets. And I just think that has always been an excuse. And I think what we're seeing now is some of the big and small brands really stepping up, you know, whether it's kind of paying early fees to smaller agencies to keep them afloat, or just, you know, just checking in, how's it going? They are human beings too, with families and with responsibilities. And particularly when you look at the buying power of mothers, and then you would not have those people in your agencies. Yes, there are occasional clients, and there are some companies that have definitely been guilty of treating their agencies really badly and demanding a lot of time. And there'll always be that, but that's not everything. And that's not the be all and end all. And that's not how you build a really strong agency brand that attracts the best people. When you look at some of the most successful creative businesses in advertising, you know, it's companies like AMV that sort of really blazed a trail with kind of the way we talk about periods with Blood Normal. You know, it's really small companies like Gravity Road who've just done such beautiful work with Sainsbury's, but they're also so flexible. So, you know, even with the current crisis that's going on, they've created like a resource for working parents in the industry, Gravity Road Junior. So there are companies that have just really just cut a swathe through that notion that you know, we're all, that the industry is all working for these terrible clients that are just really scary and just, you know, don't actually care about the people that they work with. I mean, when they hire an agency, effectively they're buying people, they're buying culture. They're not buying into a race to the bottom of who can burn out first.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much, Nicola. Obviously, we both have this flexible working thing, and I'm sure we could go on talking for hours about it. And you know, as I said, it's been really interesting talking to you. But I usually end the interviews with a couple of questions not related to the topic, but more related to you and your career. Firstly, what career advice would you give to your younger self?
I think I would just say stop worrying about what other people think and work out what makes you happy. I think happiness is, I know it sounds really trite, but I think happiness is really underrated in the decisions that you make about your career. And it's will this make me happier? You know, I think it's such a key question.
Did you make some early career moves then that made you unhappy?
I think I just thought I should do certain things. You know, I remember sort of going for promotions that I didn't really want because I thought that was what you were supposed to do. And it's not even about being so ambitious, but just actually being honest about what those ambitions are. And I think it's such an interesting thing because, you know, that can be quite challenging because then you have to actually work out what it is you do want. If you don't want your boss's job, what do you want?
Yes, I think that's often where people find themselves in either the wrong company or I'm talking from personal experience.
Yeah, yeah. As well. And I think the thing that I've sort of done as well sometimes is I've treated everything like it's permanent. And I think that's particularly true when you have young children. It's like, I'm never going to have a decent night's sleep. I'm never going to be able to travel for work because I don't like being away from my children. And actually, I still don't really like being away from my children, if I'm honest. Like, I travel a bit now, but not as much as I did before I had children. But my views on that have changed over time. And I think especially kind of when you're struggling or you can't work out your place, that sometimes you think that's permanent. And actually, I think I wish I'd known that there wasn't a need to panic.
Mm, definitely. Do you think having the children has changed what you want from your career?
Definitely. The things that make me feel fulfilled are quite different to what they were before I had children. Like, I'm much more interested in people and I enjoy managing people a lot more than I did when I was younger because I'm so invested in their success and their happiness and how I can stop them from making some of those mistakes or worrying about things that I worried about that didn't matter.
And the second question is, what are you either reading or watching or listening at the moment, if you have any time to do any of that?
I'm going to be so honest right now, okay? I am not reading anything. So something that I have been doing, which I massively recommend to the parents, is I've been reading Roald Dahl books. So taking my six-year-old to bed and just reading, like, we read half of Danny the Champion of the World last week. And it's just, oh, it's lovely. But what I did read prior to this situation that I really is such a brilliant book and I so, so recommend it is The Squiggly Career book.
Oh, yes. We had Helen Tupper on here.
Oh, she's just brilliant. Yeah. So Helen Tupper and Sarah Ellis, I think it's such a good book. And if you can't commit the time to read the book right now, I absolutely would not judge you for that. But if you follow them on Instagram, they do loads of really good just daily videos and career tips. And I just love all their content. It's just, it's really, really good.
Yeah, they're brilliant. Just adding to Nikki's point, if you can't read the book at the moment, then also there's the podcast.
Oh, yeah. The podcast is good as well. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time and your thoughts and perspective.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I really hope you hang in there and we'll see you on the other side. My enormous thanks to Nicola there for coming on, carving out some time in her working day, working from home with the kids just immediately after the Easter holidays, and talking to us about her view on flexible working Don't forget, please, to like and leave a review if you're listening on iTunes in particular. It really, really helps us. And don't forget as well, if you're interested in having a rethink about your career path, picking up on some of the things that Nicola was even talking about there, finding a job that does actually make you happy, do drop me a line if you're interested in finding out more details about the coaching program. It's a 5-week program. There's blended learning. Some of it's online, led by our career coach, and some of it is some independent study using the tools and reading materials that we will provide. You can find out more about that at our Facebook group, Careering into Motherhood. Thanks for your time today, and we will see you next week.